Well, these final Sundays of Advent, I want to focus on the announcement that the angels made to the shepherds that's recorded in the Gospel of Luke in Luke chapter 2. It was good news. That was the theme we had for this sermon series, good news, because I just thought, boy, do we need some good news in the midst of such a dark and time in our nation and in the world. And I said to somebody the other day, there's just kind of a heaviness of spirit in a lot of people and a lot of circumstances in this season. But the word gospel means good news. The gospel is good news to us. The message of the angels, it's good news. The birth of Jesus is good news. The coming of the Lord and his second coming, it's good news for those who know him. It's good news of great joy for all the people. That's what the angel told the shepherds. And so we're going to look at some different aspects of this passage over the next two Sundays. There'll maybe be a little bit of overlap, but I want us to just read from Luke chapter 2. And as we do, I want to give credit to John Piper for inspiring a couple of parts of this message. It's something that I read of his this week. Luke 2 says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" So I want you to notice some things about this today. First of all, it's a real baby, a real day, and a real town. King James reads, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And for the doubters, just let me say, there's nothing mythical here. This is not some myth that was created to perpetuate some notion of God, you know, loving us or whatever. It's not some event that happened once upon a time. It happened at a specific time, specifically when Quirinius was governor of Syria. It happened historically in response to a decree that was issued by Caesar Augustus, the emperor of Rome. It happened in a real place, in Bethlehem, in Israel. I've been there. It's a real place. I've been there multiple times. I've seen the shepherd's fields, been in the caves there in those fields. It hasn't moved. It's still there. It's a real place. It was even prophesied by the prophet Micah 700 years before the birth of Jesus that the Messiah would be born there. He wrote, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." A real day, a real place on this planet, a real time determined by God, planned by God in his providence. A day planned before the creation of the world, and on this day, on this particular night, everything came together at just the right time to fulfill the word of God, the word that had been spoken by the prophets. Paul in Galatians 4 uses this term. He said, "But when the fullness of time had come, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son born of a woman." It was God's timing, and it was the fullness of God's time at just the right time that Christ was born on this night in Bethlehem. And how amazing that God in his eternal providence would work through a wicked Caesar to see to it that God's word was fulfilled to the letter and to the day. You see, Augustus decided to have a census at whatever time and called for it, and because of his edict, because of his orders, then it required that Joseph and Mary, who were part of the family of David, had to travel from Nazareth in the Galilee all the way south to be there to register in Bethlehem. What a coincidence, right? What are the odds of that, that at just the right time, that months before, it was all orchestrated. God was working through it all to see that his will was accomplished. So let me just tell you, God is still watching over his word to see that it's fulfilled. And he can use wicked Caesars, he can use politics, he can use the economy, he can use whatever he wants to use. So don't worry, God's still on the throne. He's still at work. He hasn't abdicated his lordship, his kingship, or his throne, and he's still at work in America and around the world to fulfill his word and his promise. Then notice that the angel said that he was to be Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Savior, Christ the Lord, the angel said. It's the best good news that anyone could imagine. A Savior is born. Savior, Messiah, and Lord. If you've ever sinned in your life, then this is good news for you, because if you've sinned, that means you need a Savior. And the truth is, the simple truth is, we've all sinned. All of us have. The Bible says, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Earlier in that same chapter, Romans 3, Paul quotes from the psalmist who said, there's no one righteous, not even one. All of us have turned away. We've gone our own way and away from God. We've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. We've all failed. We've all broken God's laws and commandments. He's told us what to do, and we ignored it. And the Bible then says, we've all sinned. Then it says, and the soul who sins is the one who will die. We're all under a death penalty. We're all under the judgment for our sinfulness. And that means we all need a Savior. The truth is, only God can forgive sins. And that's why God, in the fullness of time, sent his Son to be born of woman so that he would be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus has come to forgive us of our sins. In fact, at one place in the Gospels, Jesus said to someone, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. So we know that Jesus is the Savior, the one who can forgive us of our sins. And that's the good news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior is born. His very name means to save, to rescue, to deliver. You'll call his name Jesus, the angel said, because he will save his people from their sins. So when they announce, unto you is born this day a Savior, salvation is born. The rescuer, the deliverer, the Savior has come. And not only is he Savior, he's Messiah. He's the promised one. The angel said, or it's translated as a Savior, Christ the Lord. Christ is the Greek equivalent for the Hebrew word for Messiah. And so God keeps his word and fulfills his promise by sending the Messiah, the anointed one. He's the long-awaited, ultimate, and final prophet and priest and king. Everything comes together in Jesus. In Jesus and his birth, all the promises of God are fulfilled. The Bible says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ Jesus. And so through him, Paul says, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. In Jesus, it all summed up. All the law and the prophets are fulfilled and summed up in him. Everything comes together in him. Christ is the yes, the amen, the fulfillment to all of God's promises. He's Savior, he's Christ or Messiah, and he is Lord. He's not just another baby, he's Lord, Lord over all. Isaiah said, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. So you understand why the angel said it was good news? On a real day, a real night in a real city, a real baby is born, and he is Savior, so he can forgive our sins and take away our guilt and our shame. He is Christ, the Messiah, so he fulfills every promise of God and all of our hopes. And he is Lord, so he'll defeat and conquer our enemies and will rule and reign as Lord and King forever and forever and forever. Friends, that's good news. That's good news for all of us today. A Savior, Messiah, and Lord has come to us. Now, Luke tells us only one angel appeared to the shepherds to make this announcement. So I don't know how many you've got in your manger scene at home, but there was one that showed up in the shepherds' fields to make the announcement. And they were terrified by the appearance of one angel. So who knows what happened when, what Luke says, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. And this is what John Piper wrote, and I thought this was great. Evidently, one angel can bring the news, but it does not suffice for one angel to respond to the news. The meaning of this news, the ultimate outcome of this news, that demands an army of angels. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, the heavenly army, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The angel must have said, "Just give me a minute. I'm going to make this announcement, all right? And then the choir is going to come in, all right? All right." He was a soloist. We don't want to freak him out too early, but it may just be that the rest of the angels said, "This news is so good for those poor, feeble sinners down there that they just couldn't help it. They just broke out in a song, had a praise break going on for a minute, all right? All of a sudden, the angels got together because this was such extraordinary news. A Savior is born. Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. He's come to save us from our sins. Listen, we ought to be rejoicing more than the angels because we're the ones that are being saved. Because of Jesus and his salvation, I'm not going to hell. Hallelujah. Because of Jesus and his saving mercy, I don't have to live in condemnation all the time with all the guilt and shame of my past and the mistakes and the sins and failures. Because of Jesus, he came and saved me, and he's delivered me, he's forgiven me, he's poured his grace upon me. And that's why with the angels, we can say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, good news, good news, good news." Hallelujah. So it's God's glory and it's our peace that we read about. The incarnation, the God appearing in flesh, is the greatest revelation of the glory of God. John's gospel declares, and we read it this morning in our Advent reading, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh, that's the incarnation, and made it, he dwelt, he tabernacled among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. The birth of Jesus, his coming, God in the flesh, reveals God's glory, the glory of God, in an extraordinary way, a way like no other. The writer of Hebrews says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." The writer of Hebrews in the first part of that chapter says, "In past days and past times, God spoke to us through the prophets and other ways, but now he's spoken expressly to us in this way through his Son." And the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. If you want to know what God's like, then we look to Jesus. And so he's revealed God's glory in this way. Paul writes in Colossians 1, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," in Jesus, "and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." He reveals his glory through him, and he makes peace with us through the sacrifice of Jesus. The fullness of God's glory is somehow wonderfully revealed in that manger, in a feeding trough, in a little town called Bethlehem, in the incomparable and eternal Son, Jesus. And through his coming, not only is God's glory revealed, but the potential for peace for us is provided. The King James Version reads, "And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And virtually all modern translations agree that King James Version is not an accurate or not a very accurate translation. The NIV reads, "And on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Understand the difference. The peace that he brings has to be received. It's not just peace that he pours out on the whole world universally, on everyone. It's peace to those who've received Christ as Savior and Lord, who've received his grace, his mercy, his favor. They experience God's peace. They know the peace of God. So let me ask you, have you repented of your sins and asked Jesus to be the Savior and Lord of your life? Because there's peace for all who turn to him in repentance and in faith. Are you tired of living without that peace? You'll find it and you'll know it when you know Jesus. You see, if you want the peace of God to rule in your life, then God must rule in your life. And you can't know peace apart from a relationship with God himself. The Bible says it this way, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God." How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. The enmity, the strife, the war that existed between us and God because we were in rebellion against him, and that ceases because of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We've been justified through faith. We've declared in right standing with God through Jesus Christ. Later, Paul writes in Romans 15, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." We trust in Jesus. We ask him to forgive and cleanse us from sin, and then we have peace with God through faith in Jesus. Again, our rebellion against God is forgiven. His anger at sin is turned away. He adopts us into his family, and we have peace with God. It comes through that relationship, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have peace with God, guess what? Then we can have peace with ourselves. So Paul writes in Romans 8, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And we've spent a lifetime of just feeling bad about who we are and how we are and condemning ourselves and all those things. When you have peace with God, when that relationship is right, then that peace within is there, and the condemnation and guilt and anxiety and fear and shame is gone. For the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, we've become a new creation and the old has passed away, everything's become new. We know we have peace with God, we're in a right relationship with God, and now we can have peace in our own heart, peace with ourselves. We can stop fighting with ourselves, stop condemning ourselves because Jesus has forgiven us. And now instead of being anxious about everything, we come to God in prayer. We trust him with our life. And the Bible says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We can know peace in our life when we know Jesus. So we can have peace with God and peace with ourselves. And then we can also have peace with others. And this comes as a result of the Prince of Peace living in us. Peace is one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, right? For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, temperance, whatever, meekness, temperance, faith. I don't know. I get them confused there because of all the translations. But anyway, you can read it. It's in Galatians. Look it up. Peace is one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. Paul writes, "If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Well, how can we live at peace? Because we found peace. We know the peace of God. And now we have peace with ourselves and we can be at peace with others. This is how we live. You know why? Because we've been forgiven. Because we've experienced his forgiveness. We've experienced his peace. And now that manifests itself in our relationships. The Bible says, "Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." He forgave us and now we can freely give. He's given us peace. We have peace with God. And now we can be at peace with others. The Savior has come, and because we repented and trusted in him, our sins have been forgiven, and now we can experience his favor, his blessing. Now there is peace upon us and our household. Now we live in that peace, and we extend that forgiveness and that peace to others. Glory to God in the highest, the angel said. A Savior is born and we're forgiven. Glory to God in the highest. We have peace with God and we have peace within and we can live in peace with others. It's good news of great joy, the angel said. Today, in the little town of David, a Savior has been born to you, Christ the Lord. And Jesus has come to save us and to bring glory to God and to bring peace to us. Believe the good news today. Open your heart and life to Jesus. And so are you ready? Are you ready to do that? If you're here in the house or if you're watching online, is Jesus the Savior and Lord of your life? And if he isn't, if he's not ruling and reigning in your life, if there's not peace in your heart or peace in your life, I want to invite you to surrender your heart and your life to him today. He's come so you can be saved. He's come so you can experience that peace with others and that peace with God and that peace for yourself. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He'll forgive our sins and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We just need to admit the truth. We just need to tell him, you know what, Lord, I understand. I've sinned and I've failed and I've made mistakes and I need a Savior. That's why this is good news. A Savior is born. Then I need a Savior. I need a deliverer. I need somebody to rescue me. Lord, come save me. Come rescue me. Come deliver me. Jesus, come into my heart and into my life. And if you'll ask him that from your heart, if you'll turn to him, turn away from everything else and turn to Jesus, he'll save you and he'll change you today. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. So, Lord, we admit the truth today. We admit what we know, and maybe it's hard for us to say sometimes, but I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. That's why the angel could say, I bring you good news of great joy. A Savior is born. It's just good news if we're sinners, but we're all sinners. We've all sinned and missed the mark. And so, Lord, somebody here this morning, somebody watching online, and they recognize the truth. You know what, Lord? I've sinned against you. I've broken your laws. I've broken your word. I've grieved you. I'm not living in a way that's pleasing to you. I've sinned against you. I'm a sinner. And Christ has come to save sinners just like me. So, Lord, I ask you today, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse my heart and my life and my mind. Take away that sin. And in its place, Lord, grant to me your mercy and your forgiveness, your peace that passes understanding. Take away sin and rescue me from myself and from those foolish mistakes and choices I've made. Jesus, forgive me and give me eternal life today through my faith in Christ. The Bible says we're justified by faith. You declare us just. You declare us innocent. You declare us free, that we can go in freedom and not live in sin any longer. Lord, let it be for us that we are set free from our sin and our past. If we're in Christ, we're new creations. Make us new people, new creations, part of the family of God. Lord, you promised to adopt us into your family. How extraordinary, Lord, that you forgive our sins and then make us your very own. We love you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for giving us hope today. Lord, I pray you'll help us to live at peace then. If we're now in a right relationship with you, you've forgiven our sins. You've cleared that away, the stuff that separated us. That list of grievances, Lord, of all the sins that we'd committed, all that's torn up and it's gone. The enmity that was between us. There's a peace declared through Jesus Christ and our faith in you. And now, Lord, we can have peace in our own heart. I don't have to bear the weight of my sin. And now I can forgive others because I've freely been forgiven. Lord, somebody today, they've struggled with that. I don't have any wise counsel other than to say, understand that God has forgiven you and you have peace in your own heart. See if you can't begin to live in that peace. See if you can't begin to show grace and forgiveness and mercy. Ask him to help you with that. He'll do it. He'll do it. You'll be able to turn loose. There's some things you've been holding on. You've gripped it so tightly till your hands hurt in an emotional kind of sense. And I just hear the Lord whispering to you today, turn loose and just let it go. There's forgiveness for you and for others. There's peace for you and there's peace for others. Just let it go. Just let it go. Lord, let it be for somebody that receives a healing in their spirit, in their heart today, because you've given us peace and salvation and grace and mercy. Let that peace flow to others. In Jesus' name I pray. I thank you for it. Amen. 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 Well, you're in the house. Would you stand with me this morning? Here or online, if you made Jesus the Savior and Lord of your life today, would you tell somebody, let one of the pastors know, or just tell somebody that you know is a follower of Jesus, hey, I made a commitment to serve Jesus today. I ask him to forgive my sins, and let them know. They'll want to encourage you. We want to encourage you. If you're watching online, you can reach out to us, cagtulsa.com, and we'd love to help you on this new journey. Find a Bible if you've got one in the house, or contact us. We'll get you one. Or you can go online. There's apps, all kinds of ways to read the Bible. Begin to read one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It'll tell you about Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us. What a great way to come to know Jesus at this season of Advent. Well, receive the blessing of the Lord today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen. Go in his mercy and grace. Please be safe out there traveling home. And we'll see you Wednesday night or next Sunday morning here or online. God bless you. Thanks for being with us.